I remind you that of such is the kingdom of heaven. Tonight, actually, I'm going to be speaking on the very fact that they have guardian angels, and I'm going to be speaking on the fact that you have guardian angels. It's going to be really something for you to see just how busy your guardian angel is. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for those beautiful children. Lord, I know that maybe they think they didn't do well. Oh, God, I see how precious they are. I just thank you for them. That they didn't get up and try to sing your praises. Oh, God, you're so beautiful to create the children like that. I have to just laugh in the joy of the Spirit, in the joy of the Spirit when I think about the way little children love you and will sing for you. Father, I pray for the pulpit committee. What a wonderful group they are. Father, the power, the very maturity, the very hardness that they're working to do your will, Father, I just thank you that there is such a wonderful committee, and I thank you right now for the great job that they are doing and will do, and that they're looking only for God's man, not any man. I just thank you for a committee like that. And Father, I pray for the missionaries. Oh, Lord, it's so hard out there right now throughout the world, Father. Oh, God, be with them, strengthen them, protect them. Lord, your presence is what they need more than anything. And Father, I thank you that today's message, as we look at it, you're going to show us the wonderful, wonderful revelation about our prayers in heaven. I just thank you for your word. It is so clear, it's so understanding. And that the book of Revelation can be made where we can understand it, Father. And Father, I pray for the loss that there's been loved ones that have gone on to be with you. And I pray for the families that are experiencing that loss. Father, I pray for there the Christians in Iran. Only two churches are now left, Father. Oh, Father, they won't even let them baptize anymore. Oh, Father, protect those Christians. Those 200 that have been taken captive, God, oh God, somehow send your angels again to be with them. Father, we know that the desire of the Muslims is to bring about that great apocalyptic world, Father. And that I've seen just constantly on the news media today, they're banding about terms like apocalypse and Armageddon. So God, protect us, protect the Christians, preserve our nation, those Christians that are being persecuted throughout the entire world. Oh God, your presence, your guidance is needed as never before. In Jesus' name, we ask you to protect and to help the Christians. Amen. The last Sunday that we were together, we saw that in the book of Revelation, after chapter 4, verse 1, that the church had disappeared. And we, the children of God, would not have to experience the Greek, he, thlipsis, he, megali, the tribulation great, because the church is gone, after chapter 4, verse 1. We saw clearly illustrated in the lives of Lot, Enoch, and Noah, that immediately after God had shut the doors, after God had removed them out of the scene, after Enoch had suddenly walked with God, that after those godly people were taken out, that then the wrath of God fell on the earth. We saw that by way of illustration, it said in the Bible here that as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the last days. And so it is that we understand this better now than ever before. As it was in their days, it would be during the tribulation great. But praise God, the church will have disappeared. The children of God will be with Jesus. Well, today, a very interesting message. And I say interesting because I don't have much to do with it. God sent it. Sent it to me about 4 weeks ago. I was sitting there on the pew next to Randy there, and God spoke to me that I need to get up and tell him that you're going to do this sermon on the bowls, because you see, I thought maybe on the next Sunday I'd be gone or something. So God said, you got to preach that message. And so this message has been given to me by God, I'd say about 4 weeks ago. So we're going to take a look at the minstrels of God and the golden bowls. The golden bowls. Going to be a kind of a show and tell sermon. In preaching through the Revelation, we've come to chapter 5. This message on my heart over a month. I've never heard it preached. I've never preached it in this way myself ever. And if you will turn to chapter 5 in your Bible, you'll be able to easily follow the message. And I'll begin with Revelation chapter 5, beginning at verse 7. Revelation 5, 7 through 14. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. Now, I skipped over these first five verses because I didn't think I had time to do them. I'll come back to them a little later in the next week or so. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God. Pretty plain there in the book of Revelation what Jesus did, isn't it? From every tribe and language and people and nation. Verse 10, you've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. Tonight I'll deal with that in the Greek as we learn more about your particular guardian angel. Why would there be, as the Greek will tell us, this innumerable number of angels? Why will it be that way? I'll get into it tonight. It's because you have a guardian angel. That's why. That's why. Every one of us. Well, let's go on here now. Verse 12. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And then I heard every creature. Oh, I saw something there. I saw something there. Every creature. Yes, I know you all love that little dog. Can you imagine what he's going to do? I saw every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Folks, this is what it's like to be in worship with God in heaven. And these are the songs that I said I'll cover another week. They are the doxologies, three of them, that the redeemed creation sings and the hosts of angels. Today, I'm only going to deal with two aspects of the scripture that we've read. I'm going to deal with the elders and the harps, and I will deal with the minstrels of God and the prayers of the saints found in the golden bowls. First, let's take a look at the minstrels of God. Now, folks, every time I use the word minstrels, I want you to understand I'm talking about the musicians. I'm talking about the fine young man that plays the drums. I'm talking about the lovely group that stands up here and sings. I'm talking about the wonderful way he plays the guitar. Those two fellows both play the guitar so great, you know? That's what I'm talking about. When I use the word minstrels, I want you to understand that very, very clearly. First, the elders, the minstrels of God. Then secondly, I will talk about the prayers of the saints found in the golden bowls. So let's take a look at Revelation 5, verse 8. And the four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, I'm going to do a lot of illustration today. So for the sake of illustration, this is going to be the throne of God. Here God sits, and his very right hand is Jesus. And before them, we'll find an emerald rainbow about them. I want to say two things about this scene. First, the minstrels of God. And that is that this climatic and meaningful moment and significant time in all of human history, when the Lamb, who is only one that is worthy to open the seven seals, and he takes the book and he opens those seven seals, which show all of human history, and when the Lamb only is worthy, takes it and breaks the seals, and then he will cast out Satan and sin and death. Now, I want you to see that in this scripture, that there are 24 elders, God's redeemed, and they bring before God Almighty, they bring him that what the prophets have spoken, what the preachers have said, and the prayers and the agony of prayers throughout, and the intercession of the elders and the people of God throughout all of the ages. Now, the harp is a sign of the prophet. I want you to take a look up on the screen at 1 Samuel 10, verses 5 and 6. And after that, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. And as you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with the lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps being played before them. And they will be prophesying. Verse 6. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. What did I say? I said here that when the minstrels of God come and they sing, and when they play their instruments, here that it says in verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you'll be changed into a different person. Sometimes I listen to the sermons that I preach and I say, did I say that? You see, when the Spirit of the Lord comes on you, the scripture tells us very plainly there that the prophet of God, the preacher of God, even becomes a different person. He knows not what he is saying except through the power of the Spirit of God is saying it for him. The prophets, I want you to note here that the prophets coming with the harps, they ushered in the Spirit of God. They ushered in the Spirit. Look with me at 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. And as he stood before the two kings, Elisha said, and now bring me a minstrel. Bring me a musician. That's what he's saying. And it came to pass when the musician played upon his harp that the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, thus saith the Lord. You know what's really being said here? Well, there is a ministry in the preaching, and there is the delivering of God's message. There is a ministry in the singing that is ordained of God. Elijah is saying, I don't have the Spirit of God on me. I need the Spirit of God on me. Send for the musicians. Send for the musicians. I need the Spirit of God to come on me. That's what Elisha says here. It's very important that the drummer pray over his drums. It's very important that the singers pray over the song. It's very important that the guitar players pray over the guitars. It's very important that you pray over the hymns that you sing, for we are here. We are singing not unto each other. We are singing in worship to Almighty God. Preaching is just the delivering of what God has said. So it's so important that the minstrel of God, I want you to remember this, don't ever forget that the minstrel of God, when they sing, they usher in the mighty Spirit of God that falls on God's man. There are other places in the scripture where the harp, the minstrel of God, and prophecy unite as they bring in the Spirit of God. These are not on the screen, but I'll tell them to you briefly. 1 Chronicles 1, where David used the minstrel in delivering the word of God. Psalms 49, where the psalmist writes a parable about the minstrel of God helping him to prophesy. The last Sunday we were here, they sang in the first service, "Worthy is the Lamb." They sang the first doxology in Revelation 5, 1 through 5 is what they sang. "Worthy is the Lamb." And you would have had to have been a dead man to have not been moved by the Spirit of God coming in the congregation as the praise team stood up here and they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb." They were ushering in the Spirit of God before the preaching of Revelation chapter 4. And today, they were ushering in the Spirit of God before the preaching of Revelation chapter 5, verses 7 through 14. Isn't it remarkable that God's Spirit is moving in the songs of the minstrel? Maybe they thought that their portion of the service is not important. But I'd like to see how far the preaching would go without the Spirit of God. It won't go that far. And so they usher in the Spirit of God. I cannot stress the importance of the minstrel of God. And today they've ushered in God's Spirit in chapter 5. It's so remarkable. And we would have had to, like I said, have been dead to not been moved by those minstrels and by the Spirit. Now this is what has happened in the new song in heaven with these words. Listen to Revelation 5:13. We should have that. "And to him be power and honor and blessing and glory, and to him that sitteth upon the throne, God delivered his word and his message through his God-filled and God-anointed servant." The minstrels and the preacher. That's what's working together in the worship of God. So there in these doxologies, in those first five verses, there are three doxologies. Those songs, there the elders are having in their hand each one a harp, and that is bringing before the remembrance of God all of the Lord God has said through his holy prophets, and the fact that God is keeping his promises through those preaching of those prophets. So that's the minstrel of God. I said I wanted to say two things about this scene. The second thing that I want to say is that there are the golden bowls. Look with me at Revelation verse 7 and 8. This is so important that you understand this. "He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four and living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." And I say again, which are the prayers of the saints. Well, we've all had pretty hard last week or so, haven't we? I've had a terrible last week. You know what happened to me last week? Last week, my best friend died. Last week, he got out of bed and he was going to go somewhere when he first got up, and he ran into his kind of rocking chair or whatever it was, and that threw him up against the wall and he broke his neck. That was Monday. Tuesday and Wednesday, I was with the family and we were there surrounding his bed, and I prayed for him on Tuesday that God would heal him, that God would, in the surgery that was about to take place upon his neck, that God would restore him and that somehow it would be a miraculous surgery. I prayed that way. I prayed so hard for him. Wednesday came. I was back around his bedside with the family. The doctor said to him, he's paralyzed from the neck down. They said to him, "Unless you let us put a trach in your throat, you're going to die." Being the great man that he was, he said, "I don't want a trach." And 90 minutes later, he went to be with the Lord. And yet I had prayed. And I prayed so hard on the night before he died. I prayed at 11:30. I prayed at 1:30. I prayed at 2:30. I prayed at 4:30. And he died anyway. At the end of this message, you'll understand the golden bowl. I'll take up there again in a moment. Let me just say this, that in the Old Testament, if the high priest went in and the people outside were praying, the high priest went in and carried his bowl of incense. And as the smoke of it and the perfume of it ascended up into heaven, so the prayers of God's people poured out before their prayers before the great throne of God Almighty. Look at Revelation 5:8. In that bowl, in that golden bowl, the intercessions, the pleadings, the burdens, the agony, the prayers that they had prayed for many that were upon them, they were there. For didn't he teach us to pray, "Thy kingdom come"? And we pray, and what happens? It seems like the kingdom doesn't come. But I tell you that our prayers do not fall to the ground. They do not. We pray that thy will be done. And it seems like that everybody's will in the earth is being done except the will of Almighty God. And it seems like that violence is rampant and darkness and terror fill the land. But still the God's children are praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That's the way the children of God are praying. Now the revelation. Every prayer that you offer has been sent into eternity and it's been saved. Your prayers are eternal. Did you know that? That every prayer that you've ever prayed has been saved by God in heaven in a golden bowl. And that every prayer of every person who loved you and loved Jesus, their prayers are saved in heaven. Did you know that? Oh, when I get to heaven, I want to say, "Father in heaven, would you let me sit down and would you let me begin to read from the golden bowl? I want to read the prayers of my mother. She said every day that you preach," as I was pastoring in church in Tulsa, she said, "Every day that you preach, I pray for you." I want to read the prayers of my dad. I want to read the prayers of my dad when he had to put up with me as a teenager. I want to read the prayers of my dad when he accepted Jesus as Savior. I want to read the prayers of my beautiful wife who stood by me hand in hand throughout the trials and the stresses of pastoral ministry and then the chaplaincy. I want to read their prayers. I want to read the prayers of godly saints like you who have prayed for me. I want to read all of those prayers. You know, Mom, I still see it. She showed it to me one time. I don't know where it is. One of the other children may have it, but there was a little plastic bag she had that had a lock of my hair in it when I was a baby. Yeah, I used to have hair. Yeah. I want to read that prayer where when my brother Gene died at 18 months and my sister and my mother and father were coming home from the cemetery, and my little sister then said, "We can have another baby," and Mom and Dad prayed, and then I came. Oh, God is so good. God is so great. God is so marvelous that he saved every one of your prayers. I proceed prayerfully by way of illustration. Joe and Nathan have provided me a golden bowl. Thank you, fellas. I want to read some of the prayers of the saints of God that God has saved to be poured out before his throne in heaven. These are but a few of the prayers. They're prayers that I've heard. They're prayers that I've prayed. They're prayers that you have prayed. Lord, if necessary, take my life so that my children, they might learn to depend on you. My heart's desire is that they find you. Father, please help my brother. He needs you so bad. He's lost. Father in heaven, the Apostle Paul said to keep praying. I'm so tired. Nothing happens. My situation is still the same. Help me. Lord, the demon of alcohol has me. I really need your help. I cannot deliver myself. Help me, I pray in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I miss my husband so much. Could you tell him how much I miss him and that I love him? Father in heaven, I'm thinking of suicide as the only way out. I know it's wrong. Please help me to think rightly and not harm myself. I need you, Jesus, come into my heart. The internet pornography is trying to destroy our home, God. Could you stop his craving for such ugliness in his life? Deliver him from this evil. Lord, could you heal my wife? She struggles so long with this illness. I love her. I need her. I don't know if I could manage without her. Father in heaven, I'm so lonely. Is there a godly man out there for me? Please show him to me in some way. Father, I want him to go to church with me, but he won't. Says he doesn't believe in God, that you don't exist. Father, send your Holy Spirit to convict him. Jesus, I love you. I need you. Please come into my heart. Lord, my wife doesn't respect me as a man or even as her husband. Help me to be better so that she will truly love me. Jesus, my wife doesn't understand my love for you. She doesn't even want me to go to church. Please change her so that she can be we can be truly one. Father in heaven, make me more like Jesus. I'm so judgmental and hateful, I don't even know why I get like that. Jesus, save me. Come into my heart. Then give me the courage to walk before you and come forward for baptism unashamed before men. Heavenly Father, be with the Christians who are being beheaded by the jihad Muslim world. Rally the world to begin to defend civilized society and all faith groups that believe in God. Lord, your word, you said in it, like the evil judge that gave the woman her request because he tired of her coming, you said I should keep coming and praying because you would not tire of me. Give me my request that my son be delivered from alcohol. God, save our nation. Save our freedom. Help us once again to in God we trust. God, save the nation. Heavenly Father, in your love for us, protect us against the wickedness of the devil. Those helpless little ones to whom you have given the gift of life. Help women to see that the child they carry is made in your image as well as theirs, made for eternal life. We ask this through Jesus' name. Please help my children get a decent job, Lord. They're struggling. Lord, my daughter wants to get an abortion. Please convict her and her boyfriend that's wrong to take the life of a child. Lord, I hold my little boy in my arms. He's drowned. Oh, my little sunshine, I miss you so. Lord, help me to live life until I can be with him. My children, blessed Lord, they don't know you. Please send your Holy Spirit to convict them that they might be saved. Jesus, tell Mom and Dad how much I love them and miss them. Tell them I wish I could have helped them more. I wish I could have been a better child. Please, Lord, guide the surgeon as he does my husband's surgery. My husband drinks and beats me, Lord. What can I do? How can I get out of this situation? Hear my cry. Our Father, I bless your holy name. There's no hope for our nation unless you intercede. Please help our nation. Lord, my son is in jail. Should I rescue him again? Would you send someone in there to witness to him that he might find Jesus? Father, I lift up to you your servants working in dangerous Muslim countries. Lord, one of your servants was kidnapped in Nigeria. Please protect and release her. Lord, protect our troops on the battlefield. Let the enemy have visions of angels and retreat in fear. God, please come quickly. Bring peace to Jerusalem. Oh, Lord, how long I long to see your return. Father in heaven, my young daughter is talking to a predator on the internet. Please protect her from the evil that is trying to destroy her. Heavenly Father, I put my baby in the back seat of the car and I drove as fast as I could to the hospital, but I was too late. Will I see our baby again? Will I get hold to hold him in my arms? There are other prayers. I'm not going to read them all. remember, this is representative of the throne of God. And the elders are pouring out the prayers of the saints before the throne of Jesus and of God the Father. You say, preacher, what does that mean? What does that mean when the prayers are poured out? Revelation chapter 4, verse 3. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, a rainbow resembling an emerald encircling the throne. As those are poured out there, there is a rainbow around the throne, an emerald-encrusted rainbow. Every time we see the rainbow, we are reminded of what? That God always keeps His promises. Revelation 20, verse 4 says, at this time, God shall wipe away their tears. There will be no illness. There will be no pain. There will be no more sorrow. There will be more death. And I see that my friend Merle, his neck is healed. That's what we've got to look forward to. When we're with Jesus and when we're at the emerald throne that is surrounded by the rainbow, we get to know that Jesus is in charge and we'll live with Him and He'll wipe all of our tears away. And I ask the question, why? Why, oh God, why would you have the elders pour out those prayers there? Why would you have that done? And it came to me through the Holy Spirit. God will answer every prayer you ever prayed. That's right. When you get to heaven, every prayer, according to the Word of God, that the elders have poured out before the throne, they'll be saved, every prayer, and they'll be answered. So look for wholeness. Look for no tears. Look for no pain. Look for healthy, beautiful, resurrected bodies like unto Jesus. You see, Jesus can do anything. The scene in chapter 5, 14 tells us only the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world can open the seven sealed book, which is the history of the world. And that only He alone is worthy to set in motion the days of history. He alone that ushers in the Spirit of God through the minstrels of God. He alone that opens the book of Revelation where the children of God can understand it. It is He alone that saves and treasures your prayers forever. And it is He alone that will save you from your sins. I'm going to ask us to stand right now for the invitation. If you've not trusted Jesus as Savior, I ask you to begin that process. If you need to rededicate your life today, as our minstrels come forward to sing and to usher in to even further grip your heart with the Holy Spirit, as they do that, you make the decision God has caused you to make. Savior, in this moment, right now, as the minstrels play, and as you come.